will be
Long
too much too focused on one airline at one airport, and that it's going to close out the competition, basically. They've also listed in this complaint that United and Delta have essentially gotten together and swapped, because United has given up some slots at JFK and Delta has given up some slots at Newark.
So it's like a monopoly at Newark and helping Delta out a little bit at JFK.
Exactly. So they're saying 35 million air passengers fly in and out of Newark Airport every year. And they just want to make sure that these travelers have access to competition.
Mm-hmm. That makes good sense.
Well,
Starwood is expanding.
They are expanding. They've actually inked a deal with SLS Las Vegas, and this is an acquisition of the properties. So that means that there's going to be more of a presence of Starwood in Las Vegas, and for the first time there's going to be a W in Las Vegas, because
wow,
they're going to convert one of them to a W. So by the end of the year, they'll have three hotel towers under the Starwood brand, and they're calling it the Tribute Portfolio, which is an independent brand. Then they have the Lux Tower that'll be renovated, and that one, by the end of 2016, will be a W hotel.
Will those be on the Strip?
They actually are on the Strip. Mm. They'll be on the Las Vegas Strip, and they actually, the Tribute Portfolio that they launched was a 17-year-old luxury hotel brand. And we're talking about renovations of the other property that's going to turn out to be a 14,500-square-foot space. They're going to have meeting space, event space, spa and fitness center, and they're also going to have outdoor pool deck and a bar, in addition to, of course, the hotel rooms. So SLS Vegas, they had about 1,600 rooms. So this is really big for Starwood to be able to acquire this.
That's great. Awesome. I think I'll go out and check it out and make sure everything is going along well. Okay. What food chain is saying no to tips?
The Joe's Crab Shack locations have all eliminated tipping. The way they've done this, under the new policy, they have increased the server's income to $14 an hour versus the $2.13 an hour plus tips.
Oh.
So they're not so reliant on those tips, but they've also increased their menu prices by anywhere from 12 to 15% to also compensate for the higher wages and guaranteed wages that they're paying.
But, you know, we are so programmed into tipping. So would they, I wonder if they'll allow them to take tips, or will they just have to say, oh, no, we.
No, they'll allow them to accept tips, but it's not going to be part of their system where tipping is going to be. Tipping's not mandatory, but there's such an emphasis on it. And also, when you get a bill, there's always a spot left open for tipping. So you'll see those kind of things go away. I think in any service industry, when somebody goes above and beyond with the level of service, you're always allowed to tip them unless they're in certain positions. I don't think that people will have to turn them down. But at the same time, I'm wondering if it's going to set a trend anywhere, because when I travel to, like, for example, in Japan, you really wouldn't tip. They don't understand why you're doing that, because they're paid a wage to do their job, so they're providing you a service. That is their job. They're not providing you a service in order to gain a tip. Now, in some facilities, of course, like hotels and places like that, people will accept tips and gratuities and in certain positions. But I do notice, even in Europe, tipping is not so heavily counted on.
Mm-hmm.
It's all built into the pricing structure of your receipt and of your bill. So when you give them something extra, they just accept it as something a little extra because you like the service that they were providing. I'm also a little taken aback. I've seen a change on bills when you get them, these recommended tips.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 10, 15, and 20. Now it starts at 18% and goes up from there. And then I love how they separate bills out for people who are dining, individuals who are dining together. But I've also noticed that they put that recommended gratuity on both bills and they don't split it. So
no.
You can accidentally pay even more. So it's become so aggressive now, I think, here in the state. So hopefully that'll change. And I wonder how foreigners feel about it when they come here.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. ASTA is addressing some tax issues.
Actually, they want to put an end to what they call discriminatory car rental taxes. ASTA is the American Society of Travel Agents, and so they're advocates, and they're a membership group, but they can also be advocates towards certain policies and procedures for the travel industry and for travel professionals. And so they have really expressed a concern about the growing trend of state and local jurisdictions that are levying discriminatory car rental taxes that have serious unintended consequences for consumers and the economy, is what they state. In an average year, travel agency sales account for 31% of the $24.5 billion U.S. car rental industry. So they feel that they have quite a say
right.
in this arena. They are supporting the new bipartisan Indiscriminatory State Taxes on Automobile Rentals Act, and that would prohibit state and local governments from imposing new taxes on car rentals. We talked about how sometimes it's a page long.
Yeah.
And you don't know per state and local government.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's more than the rental in a lot of cases.
Exactly. Okay, John, how can a four-legged person or thing become a member of TSA?
Well, they are going to be working alongside TSA, our furry friends, the dog, to help with screening. In this particular case, it's going to be specifically at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. And so they've announced that this week they want to help in keeping travelers safe and get through security faster. They received a lot of complaints, especially since back in June, the TSA screeners missed 95% of the fake bombs and weapons that the Department of Homeland Security testing team sneaked through security. And this was at dozens of busy airports. But they're thinking that with the assistance of dogs, they can maybe do some of these random selections with people going through the pre-check.
Mm-hmm.
I just want them to get rid of the random selections for pre-check. Why did I go through the process and procedure?
And pay the money and do it.
I'm vetted. I had to go through a police report. I had to go through a background check.
We had to get fingerprinted. We had to do the whole nine yards. I mean, I agree 100%. Okay, Honduras has a new tourist attraction.
They do, and I'm surprised we don't hear more about these types of tourist attractions. And there are some out there. We just don't hear a lot about them, and they aren't as popular as, let's say, a wine trail or a beer trail or a bourbon trail. I'm talking about a coffee route.
Oh.
Yeah, and coffee is popular worldwide.
Oh, just ask any major coffee chain.
Yeah, and I think with these major coffee chains become more and more into mm-hmm. coffee around the world, not just in America, but Europeans are drinking coffee, and they've always had the espresso and the
right.
cappuccinos and those, and sometimes they frown upon our American coffee,
and
but it's coffee
what they
all
it.
The same.
Thank you. Is she like
but
American
yes.
coffee?
I know. Well, the Honduras Institute of Tourism has teamed up with the Honduran Coffee Institute, and they have gotten together to establish a coffee route, and it's going to have six coffee growing regions in the area, and you can learn from the seed to the cup how it's produced. And I think that's phenomenal, and I think that's something I would love to do.
So would I. I yeah. would enjoy that, learning how to
yeah, how it got to your cup.
The whole nine yards, okay? Now, Cairo International Airport is doing something new with security.
Well, they're actually installing X-ray baggage security scanners. We're not talking about when the passenger checks in and their bag is scanned. They already have that. What I'm talking about is another X-ray scanner that they've started immediately installing, and this will scan the bag from the airport to the plane.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think everybody ought to get that one.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Now, Javon, what are the most efficient U.S. airports?
Well, some of the most efficient U.S. airports are Portland, Oregon is one. Let me first go back and say that this is established by Smart Asset. It's a data company, and they've looked at data at more than more than 5.85 million flights, and they've analyzed 7 different metrics of performance. That includes average departure delay, the cancellation rate, and the average time spent on the runway to come up with these statistics as far as which airports are the most efficient in the United States. And so Portland, Oregon came out on top.
All right.
Yeah, they came out on top, and they said they were rated the most efficient for average departure delay, cancellation percentage at both, and in the top 5 lowest among major U.S. airports. The second one is more of a grouping of airports, the Western airports, and that's the 8 of the top 10 airports are actually Eight of the top 10 and all of the top 5 most efficient airports are located in the Western states. We're talking about Utah, Alaska, and Washington.
Wow.
Yes. And then Atlanta, one in the category of large and efficient.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't hear JFK or O'Hare.
they're a bit more at the bottom of the list, uh-huh. But there's a whole list of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I've been trying to find a good cheap fare to go to Nebraska. So is there any more research out there how I can do it?
Well, depending on when you want to travel, you may already be too late.
Uh-oh.
There is a study that was conducted by a travel search site called Momondo, and they have discovered, after analyzing 12.6 billion airfares worldwide, that 53 days in advance of departure is the best time to buy your airline ticket.
53
days. So get your calculator and your calendar out.
I'm shaking my fingers.
53 days in advance. And then, of course, the day of is always the most expensive. However, they also looked at some other categories, with the cheapest departure fares typically are being found on Tuesdays and the most expensive on Saturdays.
All right, you know that. Well, when we come back, we are going to talk about fall and Thanksgiving travel. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie Duchon.
And I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
Habitat for Humanity builds houses and so much more. A Habitat Build site is where setting a brick can build a community, where digging a foundation can fill a family with hope, where driving a nail can secure an education, where building a wall breaks down barriers, where hanging a door opens a world of opportunities. Habitat for Humanity builds houses and so much more. What will you build? Visit habitat.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm Hoda Kotb from NBC's Today Show. I am so excited to let you know that I have my very own exclusive show on Today Show Radio on Sirius XM. After you listen to Kathy Lee and Hoda talk to me about it, we're going to talk music, tech, exercise, nutrition, relationships, and celebs. This show is going to be so much fun. We're going to get to know each other. Join me, Hoda Kotb, for The Hoda Show, Mondays and Wednesdays, 2 p.m. East on Today Show Radio, Sirius XM 108.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. The cure is in sight.
Tanning, indoors or out, increases your risk of skin cancer. including melanoma, the second most common cancer in young adults, and the leading cause of cancer death in women 25 to 30.
Tanning doesn't make me look healthier. My ambition does.
Tanning doesn't make me stand out. My drive does.
Tanning can cause wrinkles, age spots, and even melanoma, the cancer that kills one person every hour. And using tanning beds significantly increases your risk of developing melanoma.
Tanning doesn't make me glow. My individuality does.
Tanning doesn't make me feel better about myself.
I got the job!
My confidence does. Tanning doesn't make you more beautiful. It only makes you more at risk. Stop tanning. Learn more at spotskincancer.org, a message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
The statistics for women and heart disease can be scary, but we are not statistics. We are unique. Women's symptoms are different than men's, making diagnosis of blocked arteries more difficult. There are many testing options, but not all of them are designed with women in mind. To learn more about testing options for women, visit GoSpreadTheWord.com. That's GoSpreadTheWord.com.
A public service of Healthy Women and the National Association of Nurse Practitioners in Women's
Health. Welcome back to The Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Bonnie Duchamp.
And I'm Javon Harley.
Okay, have you friended and liked us on Facebook and started following us on Twitter? Well, if you haven't, let's get started right now. Do that. And when you post something to Instagram or to these other social media spaces, make sure you use hashtag The Traveling Eye Show. And now it's time for Javon's Travel Minute.
How to snag an airline upgrade is always the million-dollar question. And after many years in the business, I can tell you it isn't as easy as it used to be for travel professionals or for the traveling public. I've heard of many schemes and a few successful ones, like the time Sam Hong snagged the first class suite on Emirates Airlines by signing up for bonus miles through various credit card companies and redeeming 200,000 miles on Alaska Airlines without even flying on them. Then there's yours truly. My husband and I once got award miles through our mortgage company. The best advice is to acquire miles by any means necessary and through your daily spending. You can also get firsthand advice from Hong on his website, TopMiles.com. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute.
You know, it makes me wonder, because sometimes you get in the mail, okay, this credit card, that credit card, these miles. Do I need to get about 5 or 6 credit cards?
Well, if you are diligent and committed to getting miles, I mean, you kind of want to look at what you have and say, are my credit cards working for me, or is it just a credit card? And I think there are several things you need to look at and what's important to you, mm-hmm. their interest rate and what other perks and benefits. But no one should have a credit card that's just a credit card. Everyone should have a credit card that gives them other benefits, whether it's cash back or rewards or anything of that nature. And then look at different organizations that give extra bonus miles, like your grocery store sometimes, or other retailers that you may shop at. They may have different promotions. But I think the ones that people use the most are credit cards, and certainly the ones that give you bonus miles, those that are connected to an airline. Mm-hmm. And also look for those unusual ones. Like I mentioned, when we bought our condo, we realized that there was a program. We just started searching for deals and things like that, and we found that we got bonus miles when we got our mortgage.
Oh, right.
And that was a lot of miles.
Ooh. Anytime you want to share, just let me know.
But you have to be diligent and committed.
Well, we've got a great show for you. I mean, it's fall, it's holiday season time, and, you know, with a lot of travel going on, Javon, during this time of the year, what are some of the busiest Thanksgiving airports?
Well, that certainly is the thing that everybody's talking about right now, because that's the next holiday season that's upon us, and it's not that far away, so here you go. Well, the busiest two so far, and this is based on the average American, or 61% of travelers that are going to be flying. We're looking at Los Angeles as the number one busiest airport for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and Chicago O'Hare as number two. So both of those are the busiest two. And they are both the busiest two for the third consecutive year. And this is based on information from Insider Index. And they analyzed flight booking data in the top 50 U.S. airports over that period of Thanksgiving. So for this year, the Thanksgiving period for travel is November 25 to November 30.
Okay.
And I'm going to be in that mix.
I'm not.
Yes. Now, some of the other ones coming up after that, Denver, Orlando, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Atlanta.
I think because we're right in the, Chicago's right in the center, everybody's coming through and heading out.
Yeah. Well, here you go, Bonnie. Least busy airports, Omaha. That's probably why you can't find
Denver
a good fare.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so Omaha is amongst the list of least busy airports for that period.
Dang.
That's when you want things to be busier, right?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and we were talking about Thanksgiving and stuff and how people usually go home. But she says she likes to vacation and not do the family thing during November or Thanksgiving time.
Well, a lot of people do, because when you think about it, it's a lot of travel for one day, and it's a very busy time to travel. So then you try to go outside of that busy period. And so that one-day holiday turns into a one-week vacation. And then you're thinking, I could spend that one-week vacation someplace else. So it really depends on what you're looking for. And today we're talking about fall travel, because fall starts September 23rd and goes to December 21st. However, we always consider fall as September and October, and when we get to November, we're thinking winter.
Mm-hmm.
But until December 21st, just before Christmas, we are still in the fall, and there are different aspects of fall. Of course, we've gotten past that fall foliage season, although now you can still see a little bit of,
right,
of fall colors. The leaves haven't all fallen off yet, because it's been a bit mild,
mm-hmm,
at least in the Midwest it has been. I think across the country, in the East Coast, it's been mild as well. But you have to kind of consider, where do I want to go, what do I want to do, if you want to get away to someplace warm, or if you just want to travel some places that can be fantastic in the fall. One thing you want to consider is price points as well. We've always talked about shoulder season, and fall being in that shoulder season, you can get some really good prices. And Europe's at the top of that list. You can go to France and Italy and Switzerland and Spain, and certainly the southern part of Spain is still a bit warm. I always find that traveling this time of the year is nice, because you just need a little jacket.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cold, it's not hot, very pleasant, and you can really enjoy the outdoors without being too hot or too cold. But certainly Europe, the prices start to fall, the crowds are dissipating, and so you get a lot more local flavor. Of course, you're not going to sport your shorts and your bathing suit and those kinds of things, but there are a lot of fun things to do in Europe. The weather is great.
And plus, it's fashionable. Fall is about fashion, too, in my eyes.
Yeah,
I mean,
fall fashion.
Oh,
I think it's the best time of the year. It's the best fashion period,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Because the winter, nobody sees anything, because you're all bundled up. We all just look like big fuzzy bears,
right, walking around. Especially around here. But when you're in the fall and you just may have a sweater on or a scarf, boots,
it's
just looking cute.
It's the whole ensemble.
Yeah.
I love boots. But Asia is also a really nice place to go in the fall. Very clement weather,
mm-hmm,
very mild weather in different places. Hong Kong is a place that I love in the fall. And when you're thinking about Africa, there are a lot of places that you can go, and the weather is still very mild. And understand, if you go down further south, like in South Africa, the seasons are reversed. Or we're in our fall, they're in their spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different, and it still can be quite warm. So there's some lovely places that you can go to in Africa this time of the year. Egypt is one of them, because Egypt is a place you want to steer clear from in the summer months, because it's over 100 degrees in some areas, especially when you go down to Aswan and those areas. November is extremely pleasant weather. At night, it gets a little chilly, so you just want to bring a jacket or something like that. But certainly in the middle of the day, it's beautiful weather.
Mm. Of course, there are lots of different places here in the United States that you can go.
Oh, yeah.
That have great fall. Certainly, if you're traveling in early fall, you have the fall foliage. But around this time of the year, already, like here in Chicago, the markets are starting to open, and you really start being reminded of the holiday season that's coming up. The coffee houses already have their pumpkin spice lattes and, of course, apples and these types of things that are conducive to the fall season, like pumpkins. I don't really think of pumpkins for Halloween, but let's face it, it's a fall bounty. And so your fruits and vegetables start to change, and there's some wonderful things that you can do in the countrysides of various different places.
You can go, I mean, if you want to ski, you can still ski. If you want to get, you know, warmer, you can do that. Or, you know, come to the Midwest and put on a coat and you just enjoy.
Yeah, and Vegas is one of these places that's really nice in the fall. And again, just like when we talked about Egypt, it's extremely hot in the summer. So here is a time where you can really enjoyed the outdoors of Vegas and the surrounding areas. Let's not forget about those surroundings.
The beautiful mountains that they have there are just gorgeous.
Exactly. And then don't forget about wine country. Now, the beginning of fall is harvest for a lot of the wine country here in the United States. But certainly in November, the weather is still very pleasant. It's a little quieter because you have a lot of people who want to go for the harvest. September, October. So you go right after October, you get some better rates. It's less crowded. So those are always times to go. I found a really nice website called AmericaWineTrails.com. I love the website. They have over 289 wine trails with 5,500 wineries on their website. They have a mobile app. They have different categories like the wineries and the wine trails that you can find out about. They have Wine 101 find out about. They also have the map where you can look up per state about the different wineries and wine trails. So I love that site. Also, if you want to figure out what's the best time to travel or visit to a particular place, I found another website, thebesttimetovisit.com. Just go in and put in the place that you want, and it'll tell you the best time to visit that destination.
Oh, that's helpful.
Absolutely love that. And then while I was thinking about when you're traveling, are you going to stay with someone or are you going to stay at a hotel, I looked at HomeAway's website. And HomeAway listed the best November vacation spots. Now, HomeAway is a home rental, a vacation rental company. A lot of people put their homes up as a vacation rental.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a home share
right.
type of program, like an Uber for homes. But what I did find is that a lot of people put up their second homes.
Mm-hmm, their vacation homes.
Exactly. They have a huge selection of vacation rentals, and these homes are absolutely beautiful, and they have them all over the world and different categories, whether it's beach, city, countryside, whatever it is you want, small, medium, large. So you can really go through and see what's going to fit your criteria and get something specifically for you. But they did list, they posted on their website, the 10 best November vacation spots by HomeAway. Santa Monica, California was one of them. I've been to Santa Monica before, and Santa Monica is beautiful. And, you, of course, you have the pier. They have the Santa Monica Beach and the 3rd Street Promenade Shopping District. California has great weather all year round, but November is very, very pleasant.
I've only been to Santa Monica once, and I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought it was very beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Having a house on the beach.
Honolulu was another one. Again, Hawaii is beautiful all year round. I find that winter travel, fall and winter travel in Hawaii, it's a lot more pleasant. It's not as hot.
Mm-hmm.
And they, just like they do the emu or the roasted pig underground, how about a turkey for the festivities? Underground turkey roast or cook. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that traditional emu.
Move over, fried turkey.
And in a lot of places, like in Honolulu, they have the Turkey Trot 10-mile run on Thanksgiving morning. A lot of towns have that,
mm-hmm.
just before you pack on all the calories or pack in all the calories, go out and run. Now, what better place to go than Plymouth, Massachusetts, especially if you're considering Thanksgiving?
Exactly. Dress up like a pilgrim and stand on the rock.
Right. New York City is always lovely.
I love New York City anytime, but the fall really is great.
The fall is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it is. And again, it's I guess with the big cities, you already have transition, you know, whether you go in September or October and you see the fall foliage, the weather's very nice. Or if you go around Thanksgiving in November, you have the Macy's Day Parade,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the beginning of the Christmas shopping season, and shopping in New York is always fabulous.
Fabulous.
I'm not going to do all 10 on the list, but I do want to talk about a few more. Phoenix, Arizona is one that's on their list. And you can pay homage to the Native American heritage there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two great museums that they list here, the Heard Museum, and the reservations and the ruins are just a short drive from there. And they also have the Pueblo Grande Museum and Archaeological Park. And they have great Aboriginal history and culture.
I'd like to go there.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. Denver, Colorado. What I like about this one is that they have the Stars Film Festival and the International Wine Festival in November. Those are some things that you can consider.
Well, all of them sound interesting and good. You know, if you plan your trip and just take off and do something different around this time of year in November, I think that would be really interesting. I'd like that.
Yeah.
All of them I would want to do that you named.
Yeah, and it's a quieter time. Not so many people are thinking about taking a vacation in November.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're not talking specifically about Thanksgiving. So even, like, we're going to Panama in a week, and we're going to be there. Now, it's going to be a bit, it's at the end of the rainy season. It is going to be a bit rainy, but what I have found is that they're quick, heavy pours, and then they stop. So it's not like it's raining all day, every
mm-hmm.
day, but November is the end of the rainy season in Central America.
And it's going to be so funny because it's not going to rain at all next week while we're there, except for at night. When we're asleep.
Well, we hope so. I won't make that claim, but I certainly hope so.
Well, you know what's also great about the fall is the festivals. I love fall festivals.
It's
They're just different. It's just seems like there's more substance or something. I don't know. I just love fall festivals.
Well, I think summer festivals are just so bountiful.
Mm-hmm.
Play on words. But, yeah, there's just so many summer festivals. They're usually centered around music and, of course, getting you outdoors. And but there are some that are seasonal based on local fare.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the fall festivals are almost always celebratory
mm-hmm.
in some way. You know, whether if we're talking about Thanksgiving, we have the festivals that are specifically for either fall harvest or they're either for the holiday. You have your shopping festivals where you can buy local fare and things for the season. But you also have things like the Boston's Pilgrim Stroll.
The Boston Pilgrim Stroll.
Yes.
I love it.
And, of course, it goes through historic Plymouth. And so, of course, if you're there, you wear a pilgrim costume.
And just stroll.
Yeah. Now, there's the Dominican Republic Jazz Festival that occurs in November. And there's the Atlanta Marathon. You know, November, Chicago Marathon is in October. So having a marathon in November in Atlanta is perfect because, again, it's hot there. So you're certain that by November it's not going to be sweltering heat anymore. There's the Alaska Bald Eagle Festival. I think that would be just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And this is held just outside of Juneau. And so certainly if you are a bird watcher, this would be a fantastic festival for you to go to.
Yeah, just to see an eagle. If you've never seen an eagle, I mean, they really are majestic. Those wet wingspan is like amazing.
Yeah, and it's our national bird. And you know, the thing is if you're not a bird watcher, but you're a nature enthusiast, it's mm-hmm. going to appeal to you. And I just think it would be for any traveler or anyone who wants to be in awe, I think it would be beautiful.
Well, thank goodness Ben Franklin didn't have his way, or
no.
It would be a turkey. Go to the turkey festival.
No, we don't have to. Turkey is fine on the table. But you also have the Portland Wine Country Thanksgiving. So that sounds fantastic. And that's a festival, and it's, you know, of course, it's around the Thanksgiving time. But more than 100 wineries outside of Portland are open for turkey dinners and wine tasting.
Mm.
Yes. Then you have the Las Vegas Comedy Festival.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. You have the Las Vegas Comedy Festival in November. I think that would be a blast.
It would be.
If you're in Las Vegas and then you're just visiting all of these comedy showcases. And
laughing your butt off.
Yeah.
Better than crying because you're losing your money.
Excuse me. And then, of course, you have, this one I love, too, because we're going back to food and wine, but the San Antonio New World Wine Festival takes place in November.
I've never been to San Antonio.
I've been to Houston, and I was a very small child when we took a day trip over to San Antonio. I've never been as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And then, here you go, Bonnie. In New Orleans, how about the Po' Boy Festival?
Let's go. Let's pack our bags and go. Enough said.
That would be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to do. And I think that any festival that you can go to is going to be a great time in November.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I say plan on it. Think about it for next year if you don't have time to do it this year. November is almost over, but next year plan to go somewhere special.
Yeah.
And enjoy. Now, Javon, you know, we do a lot of traveling. Some of us have a problem, or do we stay with our family, or do we check into a hotel?
Well, I think that's a personal decision that you want to make. Maybe you want to figure out how crowded the house is going to be, how much privacy you're going to have, or how much privacy you want. And I think you can do either. And I think you may want to consider finding a place that's near where you're going to be staying so that you're not driving long distances. But I always have a list of how to be a good guest and how to be a good host,
mm-hmm.
because you want to be a good guest. You want to be invited back again. You don't want to be talked about when you leave. And I don't know if people are still doing it, but you should always bring a gift.
Oh,
a good guest brings a gift. And whether it's something from your hometown or something you send ahead, maybe to help them out in some way, like a fruit basket or flowers or mm-hmm. something like that, you want to do something appreciative, but you should bring a gift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think, too, you ought to let them know you're coming. Don't just show up on the doorstep. Now, I've had
you have to have
to
an invitation. And an acceptance of coming. Didn't know we need to say that, but okay, maybe you do.
My relatives listening, okay.
You also, in being a good guest, you want to arrive and depart at the right time. Mm-hmm. Avoid arriving during the a.m. or p.m. rush hour. You don't want somebody spending an hour to come get you at the airport. So, and you also don't want to arrive too early or too late. So, like, I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go pick up somebody from the airport, or I have to stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning to go pick them up. That's not what you want to do. Also, ask them which airport is most convenient for them. And if it's not a huge difference in price, then do that to make it convenient for them, mm-hmm. not for yourself. Consider renting a car because you want to get around while you're there, and you don't want to have to rely on borrowing a vehicle. However, if that is an option that's available to you, then certainly take advantage of it, but be kind with it. Fill up the tank when you return it. Get the car washed. You know, make sure that you're returning it in the same condition and treat it like it's your own.
Yes, and don't expect for your host to drive you everywhere that you want to go.
Right.
That's another good reason for getting a car.
It does, but certainly return the car with gas in
yes,
the tank.
Yes, please.
You know, thanks for letting me borrow your car. Here it is. Especially when gas prices were high and it cost you $60, $70 to fill up a tank. Consider that.
Right.
Somebody's given you a car to use during that time. The least you can do is fill it up. Also be pleasant and sometimes and maybe get up early one morning and go to a local shop and bring in some nice pastries for breakfast. Surprise them that way or take them out to dinner. You certainly want to clean up after yourself.
Please.
And offer to help clean up. Some people may not want you to because you get in their way, but offer.
Mm-hmm.
Let them decline. And don't forget to bring some PJs or loungewear for those times you're just hanging around the house.
Yeah. Commando is not it when you're a guest.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Now, there's also a list of how you want to be a good host as well. And one thing you want to do is set up that guest room or their sleeping arrangements ahead of time. Sometimes you feel like you may be putting somebody out if they're watching you get ready
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so do that ahead of time. Have it ready for them when they get there. Get a basket and fill it with some snacks and maybe some beverages so they don't have to get up in the middle of the night if they want a glass of water or something like that, maybe a pitcher with water. Because some people may not feel comfortable roaming around your house when everybody's asleep.
Right.
Certainly, it may not be an issue if you're staying with very close relatives, but kind of think about those things. You also, in that basket, maybe include some magazines and things like that, because when people retire for the evening, they need a little bit of entertainment, maybe a magazine, maybe there's a television in the room, but if not, consider a radio and reading materials that you want to get them. And then also put out their towels and washcloths
yeah.
in their room in a basket so that kind of think of how a hotel would treat them.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Wonderful ideas. I hope you guys took some notes, okay, because when I come to visit, I expect to have all of these things ready. When we come back, we've got some more great things for you. We have Bonnie's Eye on. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie Deshaun.
And I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, SiriusXM, Channel 141.
The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page. See the world with Advantage International. Advantage specializes in group travel and offers group trips to top destinations around the world. Join an existing group or have a travel specialist at Advantage design that special trip for your organization, family, school, or church. Go to advantage-incl.com for a current trip or call Advantage at 1-877-428-2773.
At Video Twist Production, we understand that capturing memories on video means capturing what's really important, bringing your ideas to life, the story without a pen. Whether you're hosting an event or putting together a demo, Video Twist Production can captivate your content, allowing your viewer to relive an experience of a lifetime. We take pride and pay attention to every detail in turning your valued ideas into everlasting memories. Call 708-333-5300, mention The Traveling Eye, and receive a free gift. That's 708-333-5200.
Here's today's Black History Moment on the Howard University Radio Network.
Today in Black History, we celebrate Howard University Medical School. In November of 1868, Classes at the Howard University Medical School begin at 5 p.m. with 8 students and 5 faculty members. Of the 5 faculty members, only Dr. Alexander Thomas Augusta was African American. It is reported that Dr. Augusta was the first African American to serve on a medical school faculty in this country. Located in our nation's capital, the Howard University College of Medicine played a significant role in training medical students, providing quality health care for the Black community, and addressing the special health care needs of the medically underserved. Today, the legacy of the Howard University College of Medicine continues to produce a significant number of the nation's minority physicians.
This has been Black History Moments on the Howard University Radio Network.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets, they're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted.